21. Philip materialized in the same alley in Atlantis from which he'd teleported, facing the same dead-end wall he'd faced when he left. 10 minutes had passed in Atlantis. For Philip, it had been hours, first spent listening to Jimmy lecture him and the two elder Brits about the file, then trying to talk Brit the Elder out of acting on what Jimmy had told them.
"Okay, Philip. Remember, it's still morning here. You've been out for a brisk walk. You need to get Nick some salt and then get home to spend the day with Brit the Younger. Well, that'll be good. Besides, after the day I've had, a quiet afternoon with a woman I love sounds lovely."
Philip spun around, took one step, then jumped straight up in the air and let out a frightened yelp. Brit the Younger stood blocking the alley's exit. Her mouth slowly spread into a big, toothy smile. The back of Philip's mind ruminated on the interesting fact that evolution has caused us to make an expression when we're happy that's similar to the face all mammals make when they're about to bite something. The look in Brit's eye left no doubt as to the intent behind this smile. It would have been frightening enough had she been alone, but standing behind her just to the side, peering over her shoulder, there was another her. A second Brit the Younger, wearing the same clothes, her hair styled identically. The only difference was that the Brit in back had a notebook, a pen, and a video camera on a tripod pointed directly at Philip, its record light glowing red. In a voice that sounded as if she already knew the answer and didn't like it, the Brit in front asked, "Where have you been, Philip?"
"Why are there two of you?" Philip asked.
"Never mind that," the Brit in front said. "It's part of an experiment. She's just here to observe."
The Brit in back scribbled down notes at a furious pace, with a furious look on her face.
"What experiment?"
Philip asked.
The front Brit said, "Don't change the subject. Where were you, Philip?"
"I can't—"
"You can't tell me?" the front Brit interrupted. "Why not?" "I already know, so really, you might as well tell me."
"You do? Then why ask?"
"She doesn't know yet."
The front Brit pointed over her shoulder with her thumb at the Brit in the rear, who took a moment away from her frantic note-taking to scowl at Philip. Behind her, Philip saw that the sound of tense voices had caused a bit of a crowd to start gathering behind the two Brits.
"I'd rather not
discuss it here."
As the word "here" came out of her mouth, the front Brit started nodding slowly, her lips barely moving as if she was counting to herself. Philip started to step around her to his right, but she muttered, "5, and stepped to block him before he barely lifted his foot from the ground. Not that it mattered. The sound of voices engaged in relationship drama had started to draw the inevitable crowd. Even if he'd been able to get past the Brits, a thick gaggle of onlookers blocked his escape. Philip stepped back in shock. He saw that both Brits were now counting to themselves, but their rhythms were slightly off. The Brit in the rear noticed this too and looked at the back of front Brit's head. Philip tried to step around them to his left. As he shifted his weight, the Brit in the rear grunted,
11.
The Brit in front's eyes grew wide, and she lurched to the side to block Philip's exit. The rear Brit said,
"There's that timing issue you mentioned. I was at 10. Even when I knew to look out for it, my count was slow. Yeah, that's definitely something we'll need to address."
The rear Brit made a note. Then both of them turned to glare at Philip as if even their timing problems were his fault. Philip said,
"We're making—"
The front Brit said, "a spectacle of ourselves, and you'd rather discuss this in private."
"Yeah, fine, whatever. We've got everything we need."
She turned around, put a reassuring hand on the rear Brit's shoulder, then disappeared. The rear and now only remaining Brit clicked her pen, tucked her notebook under her arm, and collapsed her tripod. Philip said,
"I'll carry your tripod for you if you like."
Brit said nothing. Every man in earshot cringed. Every woman who heard smirked knowingly. Brit picked up her own tripod and stepped to the side, motioning for Philip to lead the way. The citizens parted, creating a narrow passage for Philip to walk through. Brit followed. All eyes stared at Philip, but nobody said a word to him. Behind him, he heard women whisper encouragement to Brit the Younger as she passed. He walked in silence to Brit's front door, which he held open for. She didn't thank or even look at him as she entered. Philip took one last glance across the street to verify that it was not his imagination. Everybody was staring at him. He stepped into the apartment and closed the door behind him. Brit stood in the middle of the room, her arms folded, glaring. Nick leaned into the room.
"Oh good, you're both back. I see you caught up to him, br—"
He trailed off as he saw Britt's body language, fell silent, and also glared at Philip. Philip whined,
"Oh, come on, Nick! You don't even know what this is about!"
Nick said nothing. Britt asked, "What is this about, Philip?"
"Nothing!"
Britt stared at him.
"Nothing bad!"
Britt continued staring. Philip started talking, stopped himself, tried again, stopped again, thought for a moment, said,
"Okay, look."
Then fell silent. Britt said, "I asked you a question out there, and you said that you'd answer it if we weren't in public." Philip reran the conversation in his mind. He remembered her asking him where he had been, and him replying that they were making a spectacle of themselves, not that he would say in private. Philip said,
"Technically, I said,"
but the look on Britt's face after he said technically stunned him back into silence. "Please don't make me ask you again, Philip." Philip sagged.
"Britt, I hope you know how important you are to me, and that I always have your best interests at heart."
"I liked to think so." Philip tried his best to speak clearly while wincing.
"Then I hope you'll understand when I tell you that, for your own good, I can't tell you where I went."
For a full 10 seconds, the only sound in the apartment was the faint rustling noise caused by the scraping of Nick's tunic against his neck as he shook his head in disgust. Britt said, "You won't tell me."
"I can't."
"Fine. I didn't want to have to do this. But I'll just go ask Britt the Elder. She'll remember what this was all about."
"No!" Philip blurted. "Don't go ask Britt the Elder! I mean, you shouldn't. What I'm saying is, she won't be able to,
"You were with Britt the Elder, weren't you?"
"You would probably be unhappy about that, if it were the case, wouldn't you?"
Philip asked. "Philip, are you having an affair with Britt the Elder?"
"What? No! I could never. The idea wouldn't even occur to me. Britt, how can you ask me that?"
"I should be enough for you, Philip."
"You are."
"One of me."
"One is."
"Which one?"
"Oh, come on, you are. You!"
He pointed at her.
"This you, 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 the only you."
Britt the Younger remained motionless, studying Philip. "It wouldn't even occur to you to have an affair with Britt the Elder?"
"No, not in a million years."
"Why not? Do you find her unattractive?" Philip gaped at Britt. He turned to Nick and saw no support, just genuine interest in Philip's answer on his face. Philip thought furiously for several seconds before finally saying,
"There's no right answer to that question."
Britt the Younger said, "That was the wrong answer."
"Britt, you're asking me if I find a person who you believe is you attractive."
"Yes, Philip, she is me, but she's also my worst enemy."
"I know the feeling."
"This isn't funny, Philip. If I can't trust you, then this relationship's over."
"Apparently not," Philip said, "since you seem to believe I'm having some sort of relationship with you in your future, which, by the way, I'm not, so perhaps we are through after all, for, I might add, no reason."
"So you admit she's me?"
"No, never! Which is why it would be cheating if I got involved with her, and that's why I would never, ever even consider it. That's all I'm saying. I would never cheat on you with anybody, even someone you think is you."
"I want to believe you, Philip."
"I want you to believe me, too."
"So where were you?"
"I want desperately to tell you. I really do. But I can't."
"Why not?" Philip looked at the floor.
"Britt the Elder thinks it would be dangerous for you to know."
"Not as dangerous as it is to not tell me." Philip said,
"Look, I want to tell you. Now that you know I've been sneaking away, I can go to Britt the Elder and make the case that it's impossible to keep this from you anymore. I'll go talk to her, and I'll figure out a safe way to tell you what's going on."
Britt said, "Fine, but the fact that you need help thinking of a way to tell me without endangering yourself doesn't give me confidence." Philip said,
"Not safe for me. I'm afraid that ship has sailed. Safe for you. And her, and everybody else. Okay?"
Britt the Younger stared at Philip for a moment and let out a disgusted grunt. "Fine. Go talk to Britt the Elder. I have to go look over my notes and memorize my lines so I can jump back in time and go confront you in the alley again." She stormed off to her bedroom and slammed the door behind her. Philip turned to Nick, hoping to see or hear something, anything, that might make it better. Nick asked, "Philip, did you get me the salt I asked for?" Philip grimaced. Nick shook his head and walked out without saying another word.